Now, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to four passages of Scripture. The first in the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1. And page 838 in my Bible, 838, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. And verse 18 of Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And I'd like now to read in Psalm 51. The book of the Psalms, it comes a little earlier on. Chapter 51, page 722. 722. Psalm 51 and verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And now in the New Testament, please, the Epistle to the Hebrews. And I'll give you the page number in a moment. Hebrews 9, Hebrews 9, verse 13, page 145, and verse 13. Hebrews 9, verse 13, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the heifer's ashes sprinkling the defiled sanctifies for the purity of the flesh, how much rather shall the blood of Christ, who by the eternal Spirit offered himself spotless to God, purify your conscience from dead works to worship the living God? And just finally, in the same chapter, and partway through verse 22. And without blood shedding, there is no remission. I'd just like finally to refer to a verse in Ephesians 5. Book of the Ephesians, the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, and it's page 1415. 1415. Page 1415, verse 25. Husbands, love your own wives, even as the Christ also loved the assembly, delivered it up himself up for it, in order that he might sanctify it, purifying it by the washing of water by the word, that he might present the assembly to himself glorious, having no spot or wrinkle or any of such things, but that it might be holy and blameless. I was impressed in this last 10 days by the snow, and that these first two verses came to me about snow. Snow is very pure and white when it arrives. You go to bed at night and everywhere is normal, and you wake up in the morning and everywhere is covered in white snow. All the darkness, all the defects, all the messiness and mud is covered up by lovely white snow. And that impressed me, that we are sinners, but the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from every sin. And I read to you, first of all, in the prophet Isaiah. This is God speaking. God is speaking through his prophet, through the prophet Isaiah, to Israel. But it should be we can take it to ourselves. Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. When the snow comes down, a lovely white blanket covers everything. And that's the thought here, that here was the people of God sinning, and their sins were like scarlet. They were obnoxious, hateful to God. God does not like sin. But the snow, they shall be whiter than snow. Now, I don't know whether you can think of anything that's whiter than snow. I can't. But God says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be whiter than snow. Isn't that amazing? Only they shall be as white as snow. I'm sorry, I'm misquoting. As white as snow. Only God can say that. I can't say that your sins are be as scarlet, shall be as white as snow. I can't forgive your sins. I can't make you clean. But God can. And God is able to make you as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God is speaking to his earthly people of old who were going astray, and he was telling them that he could make them as white as snow. Now that comes down to us today in the gospel. The gospel message is because the Lord Jesus has suffered and died, and his blood has been shed, we sang about that at the beginning, that Jesus' blood is able to make you as white as snow. Because the Lord Jesus died in our place, our stead. He died instead of me. I should, by rights, bear the punishment of my sins before a holy God. But Jesus, God's own beloved Son, came here into this world, and we've been, children at school have been thinking about the death of the birth of Jesus. Well, here is his death. And through his death, through being nailed to a cross, lifted up between heaven and earth to die, he, in his death, bore my sins. Peter, the Apostle Peter, could say, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. The Lord Jesus Christ has suffered and died on account of sin and sins, and has borne my sins in his body on Calvary's cross. Can you say that? Do you know that the Lord Jesus has done this for you? Is he your Savior? Have you been washed in his precious blood? Jesus' precious blood can make you white as snow. And that's the whole thought, that sin can be cleansed. There would be no hope, no gospel preaching, if the forgiveness of sins was not possible. I couldn't stand here and tell you about God's way of forgiveness, about God being willing and able and righteous to forgive you your sins, if the Lord Jesus hadn't suffered and died. That's the whole basis, the whole reason that we preach the gospel. It's good news that God is not holding you responsible for your sins if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. That's really what you need to do. And I need to put my faith and trust in Jesus, his precious blood. And that's what the prophet says, the Lord, that Jehovah says to the people of God, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God always had an answer to the, a remedy for sin. When Adam sinned, God made coats of skin and clothed Adam and Eve. A creature had to die. So death had to come in, blood had to be shed to make those coats to clothe Adam and Eve. Now when we come to Psalm 51, this is a psalm of David, King David. And he had sinned, and he was repenting of his sin, and saying, purge me with hyssop, that's a very little plant that springs out of the wall, as we read in Scripture, and it's very small and very insignificant, but it's used in the cleansing process. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So if you turn to God, he's able to wash you and make you whiter than snow. So here we have another pointer to what God is able to do for you. And he is able to do it, we now know, because the Lord Jesus suffered and died on Calvary's cross. Now, that's a most wonderful thing. The Saviour of mankind suffered and died. He came here to his own people Israel, came first to the Jew, to Israel, and his own people refused him. He was rejected of the people he came to save. They rejected him. They would not have this king to reign over them. They said that. We will not have this man to reign over us. They chose instead Barabbas, a murderer and a robber, instead of Jesus, Lord of life and glory. And he was put, nailed to a cross and lifted up to die. But we know that through his death, through the shedding of his blood, he is able to cleanse you from every sin. God is righteously able to do this because Jesus has borne the penalty. He's paid the price. He suffered the just for the unjust. He who knew not sin was made sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is the wonder of the gospel, the good news. It is good news, a good news for lost, ruined sinners like you and me. Well, that's what he says. Now, we read in Hebrews about the sacrifices of old. God, in his way with his people of old, with Israel, set up a system of approach whereby through the death of animals, the shedding of blood, there could be forgiveness of sins. But now we come to the point when the Lord Jesus has suffered and died. But the writer to the Hebrews says very clearly, without blood shedding, there is no remission. There could be no remission of sins, even in the old economy, without the death of an animal. There can be no forgiveness of sins to you and to me without the death of Christ. And the good news is he's died. He's done it. He's done it all. And the proof of it is that God has raised him from the dead. The Lord Jesus suffered, shed his blood, and died, and has been raised again. He's alive today. He's alive right now in heaven. And he is coming soon for those who belong to him. Will you be amongst them? Through grace I can say I will. I put my faith and trust in Jesus. And it's open to you now to do the same. So we see this, that in the old economy, the blood of goats and bulls and a heifer's ashes sprinkling the defiled sanctifies for the purity of the flesh. How much rather shall the blood of the Christ, who by the eternal Spirit offered himself spotless to God, purify your conscience from dead works to worship the living God. It's a matter of your conscience. God has given every man, woman and child a conscience. So you know inwardly when you're doing what's wrong. When you're disobeying your parents, you know it's wrong. And God has put that conscience into your heart. But there is a way in which you can be cleansed, you can be saved. Your sins, though they be as scarlet, shall be as white as snow. That is so wonderful. Only God can do this. I can't. I can't make your sins as white as snow. Only God can do it. Through the shedding of the blood of Jesus, through the death of Christ, he's able to make you clean and suitable for his presence. When Adam sinned, back in Genesis, he hid himself. He and his wife hid themselves in the garden when they heard the voice of Jehovah Elohim in the cool of the day. They went and hid themselves because they disobeyed. And you know, if you've done something wrong or naughty, you might hide yourself. Maybe you do. Run away and hide. Get away as far as you can from your mum or dad and hide. That's exactly what we all do, only in relation to God. When we've sinned, it brings in distance. It brings in distance from God. God is the same, but man, having a bad conscience, tries to get away as far as he can and to hide. Well, there's no need to do that, because without blood shedding, there is no remission. The Lord Jesus has shed his blood so that you might have your sins forgiven, so that I might have my sins forgiven and be made suited to the presence of God. God cannot look on sin, but he can look on the forgiven sinner as his son. Now, isn't it wonderful that not only God would be able to forgive you your sins, but he can bring you into all the gain and benefit and blessing of sonship. You can be a son of God. So God has wonderful things in store for you. And I read just lastly in the epistle to the Ephesians, Paul's epistle to the Ephesians chapter 5, about a word for Christians. Because sometimes, you know, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we get defiled. We pick up things and habits from the world and that which is in our own heart. We read about what defiles a man, we read this afternoon, isn't what he eats, what goes into him, it's what comes out. What comes out of my heart, what comes out of my mind, that's what defiles. So for believers, we can easily be defiled, but God has a way of cleansing even the believer, the washing of water by the word. The word of God blesses us. It washes us. It speaks to our conscience. It keeps us near to the Lord Jesus. God has a wonderful way of blessing, not only for the sinner, but for the saint too, that we may keep in contact with him and in happy communion with him. That is what I had to say to you in the gospel. I was so impressed in Aberdeen this week, seeing all that snow, that lovely white snow, and how lovely it made everything look. Nice when it comes, but down here it's not so nice when it goes. And it's white because it comes from heaven. Isn't that wonderful? God is able to make you suitable for his presence now and eternally because of the blood of Jesus, which can cleanse every single sin. So God has a wonderful way in which he can forgive you, in which he can bless you, and he wants to. God waits in grace. We sometimes sing with hearts, with hands outstretched to bless. God is wanting to bless you tonight. He's wanting men and women and children to be blessed, to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, and come into all the wonderful blessings he has in store for them. So these blessings may be yours if you put your faith and trust into him. What is God looking for from you? Repentance. Telling him you're sorry about your sins. Telling him that he's right and you're wrong, and that you want Jesus to come into your heart. Very simple, but it's very profound and can have a tremendous effect of blessing on your life. May it be your happy portion, as it's mine, for his name's sake.